Misorder My Step, titled Best Decision versus the Right Decision, is something that you have to stop and think about. Now, we're in a world, and as a counselor, in many cases, sometimes people will come for advice. Now, of course, as a counselor under God, I can only answer based on what God said. And sometimes there is going to be what looks like the best answer, but it may sometimes collide with the right answer. See, righteousness or truth is only based on God and will only go through God. Best sometimes will benefit me by sight on what looks like the outcome would be for me. Not what is right, but looks like what would be the best for me. See, it'll make me feel better. It'll look better. And all in all, it'll go by how I see it, not what he says. This is something that I hope every Christian is going to listen very closely to, because time after time, I watch Christians make what we call best decision and totally ignore the right decision. Let's see how this works. First of all, Peter demonstrates something that is done by many Christians daily. Watch what he did here in Matthew 16, 21 through 23. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Okay? He was explaining this. And it says, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So he's teaching them here. This is not some suggestion. This is not something he was worried about. No, he was telling them, this is what's going to have to happen. I need y'all to be aware of this. So he's teaching them as he was continually doing. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Now watch what Jesus did. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, which we tend to use falsely today, but you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. That last line, what Jesus said there, is the most crucial part of that. If my focus is not on God, I'll make a decision that seems best, but is not right. I have to agree, if I was with him and I spent that time and we had this close relationship to now our teacher, our Lord, and he's saying he's going to have to die and be tortured, of course, my answer would be no. But where am I making that decision from? Where is that coming from? When you make your decisions, do we realize that we do this same thing in all situations, including to, but not limited to, decisions concerning our family? I see people doing it with their kids and their spouses all the time. What made you do that? Well, I thought it would feel better. I thought it would look better. You do know the Bible says, yeah, I know. So why are you doing it? Because I thought it would look better. I felt. Decisions concerning our employment. We still go after our employment as if it's because of us, our talent, our degrees, for our improvement, our achievements. Decisions concerning our finances. People are not dedicated to God as the provider. They don't see God as the source. We still use our finances, and if we're being honest, a lot of us still fall back on our finances. Our finances have the final say. And decisions concerning our lives, our overall life, are we truly living fully based on him, or are we just saying that? What type of decisions are you making? What is all of your decisions based on? The Bible shows us that a foolish man does things that he perceives as right. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool seems right to him. The key of a best decision is, by all my senses, it's going to look right. By all my fleshly values and all my fleshly wisdom, it's going to look right. But a wise man, and anytime you see the word wise in the Bible, and true wisdom, it's talking about godly wise, listens to advice. And when it says listens to advice, it's not from another fool. Don't get me wrong, because to distinguish, fool is somebody that's not following God, plain and simple. You go through the Bible, anybody who does something outside of God is a fool, okay? Just make that very clear. So the advice they're going to listen to is somebody redirecting me in God. I'll say, hey, I was going to go spend this money on this. And they'll be able to go, well, based on what the Bible says, now I'm getting wisdom. And I'll have to change. That's a wise man. I want to hear, where am I going wrong? Not, hey, how does this sound? How does this look? He says that that we don't realize that the way that seems right ends in disaster. See, that's the key. Best answer may have an immediate outcome that looks best, but eventually will be disaster. Y'all get this? See, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. So I'll do something right now, and at the moment it'll look like, man, that turned out well. You have people that have taken drugs, smoked cigarettes, done things at that moment, and they made them feel like, I'm glad I did it. I'm so relaxed. I feel better. There was somebody who had a problem with marijuana, and the first thing I'd say, I said, well, what made you do that? You know it's wrong. They said, you don't understand. It felt like the whole world was on my shoulders, and when I did it, I felt. Now, and they probably own that, and they probably struggle with it still because they're like, but you don't understand what it does for me then. But later on, in the end, disaster. It surprises me how so many people do these things at the moment that seem like the best answer, and then later on in life, they pay for it. Some pay for it eternally. That's why it says, but in the end, it leads to death. We don't know in the end. In other words, even though it's a play on words, the title of this is really not the best answer. It just seems like the best answer. It seems like. Hopefully you follow a trend here. We're walking by sight. It goes on that our wisdom must be from God, not man. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. I've had a lot of what I may think in the world's definition have been brilliant people. You understand that? And I do mean brilliant, but they're fools when it comes to the word of God. I'll hear them talk and they'll speak in there. And even people that call themselves Christians will still apply a lot of human wisdom in the church, which is very disturbing because it's foolishness. Because I don't care how high a man's wisdom is, if it's not God's wisdom, it's foolishness. Y'all catch that? So if we are not spiritually led, then we are completely blind. It's only those two choices. I know we think we're in between. You have some people who are really not Christians, not following the Bible as much, but I think they think they're doing their best and they want that credit. I'm doing my best. While in reality, no, you're either or. You're that person that's diligently in the Word to find the answer, or you're not. I'm not saying you're not in the Word at all, because you have some that are in the Word and some that are in the Word to say they're in the Word, but you're not looking at it to follow those instructions. If somebody said, you have to drive here and you got to take one way, and if you get lost, man, are you in trouble, you're going to follow those instructions step by step. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. It shows us in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. See, not only doesn't he follow God, when he sees what God says, he's like, I'm not doing that. You see, marriages end because they didn't follow what God said. You see, children grow up to be some horrible adults because the parents didn't do what God said. You'll see disasters with finances. Even though it doesn't look like a disaster, a person might even end up rich, but it's a disaster because they didn't do what God said. And why didn't they do what God said? Because they were watching what God said by their emotion and their intellect, and it was foolishness to them. In fact, it says he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if I'm not using the Spirit, I won't be able to understand what it's saying. My response would be, what? I'm not doing that. I'm not giving money to that. I'm not getting in that marriage. I'm not raising my kids that way. I'm not loving that person. But when you have the Spirit, it's, oh. Now, when this is spiritually discerned, it doesn't always mean you'll fully understand it. You just understand that's what God said, and you know God is right. You'll know, oh, he's the way. Don't see which way he's going, but I trust him. Y'all get this? You're going in the Word to find His instruction in order to do it. That's what that means. Now, when it comes down to it, people have the habit of leaving God out of the equation. He says in Philippians 3, 18 through 20, he says, "For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." So in other words, their life, even though by their wording, they say they're a Christian, you'll watch their lives, and they're actually going against Christ. They're making matters hard for Christians because people are watching them as Christians, and now they're confused or misled. Why? He's making you understand that their purpose and their foundation is all messed up. He starts off with in verse 19 saying their destiny is destruction. Okay, so in other words, where they're headed is not eternal life. They're not following the path of eternal life. If you follow their path, it's not in the Bible. Now, they'll make up something and add God's name to it, but their destiny is just the wrong way. The path that they're taking is the broad and wide. Do you get this? It'll be something that has a whole lot of variety. They'll start changing what God says. It'll show you that their God is their stomach. What it means is what they're truly following is not what God says, but what they feel. There's a whole lot of feel Christians out there, which are really not Christians, because Christians are spirit-led. Okay? Worldly people who call themselves Christians are emotionally led. They want an emotional God. My God wouldn't let that happen. God loves me and wants the best for me. And then they think what's the best for them is what they want. So they're not following God. They're following their gut. And this is in their glory is their shame. The thing that they should be ashamed of are some of the things that they flaunt, that they put ahead of them. Their things that are against God are the things that they put out ahead of them, so they're known for that. Their shrewdness. Their anger. I'm not putting up with this. They'll have certain traits that are really bad from the world, but it made them successful. And we'll applaud them for it instead of going, that's dangerous. And he makes sure he lets you know why this is. It's the same thing that Peter ran into. It says their mind is on earthly things. Why is a Christian or the church being conned into this? He makes clear, we know in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then why are we caught up in this mess? Why do we keep allowing ourselves to be misled? It's because our mind is not on heavenly things. Our mind is on earthly things. What's best in the world's eyes is disaster in God's eyes. Keep that in mind. So you got to make sure you're assessing your decision fully based on God. All 2020, I kept saying, sermon started off, if you just used godly wisdom, it was a no-brainer. When I hear people start using other stuff in there that were based on the world, and if you were looking at it from the world's point of view, it would seem like the best answer. I'm not going to do this. I am going to do this. Where is your basis? Well, I shouldn't have to do this. I don't want to do this. It was based on self, based on gut, not wisdom. Dangerous. Instead of us representing heaven, displaying what the Word shows us in true godly wisdom. It's not always about the immediate results. That's what we have to realize. You know, in Proverbs 16:8, and he says these things. This isn't some, you know, oh, well, at least you got this. No. This is wisdom from God giving us understanding of something. He says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. What he's letting us know is there's going to be some times where that outcome may not look as great as it would have been if you did it this other way. But overall, it was by far the right answer. It was the best answer, but it wouldn't look like it because you're seeing the people not doing it, and it looks like they're really benefiting. I know a lot of people in my life that by world standards have been a lot more successful than I have ever been and that I will ever be, but they're a lot further from Christ. And it always makes me think, okay, Keith, if I was as successful, would I still have a heart for Christ? Man, I question that, and I can't say I would. Oh, I think I would have gone to church and gone through the motions and stuff like that, but oh, my success by far would have been what I followed. So he's saying better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. We foolishly sometimes applaud people with the much that they have, even though they're doing it wrong, instead of applauding people who are following righteousness. And we kind of jolt them for what they don't have. Now, only godliness will give sound results and will benefit everything. Only godliness. When he says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. What he's saying is there's going to be some fleshly decisions that I do that you're going to see value in, plain and simple. It's just the way it is. But he's saying only godliness covers everything. Physical, some things. What Satan wants you to do is keep focused on the somethings or the temporary. I'll do something and it turned out this way. I made a lot of money. I did this, man. This is great. While in reality, I didn't look at the eternal. And I'm paying for it later. Why? Because my focus still was on earthly things. I put most of whatever I do in the physical or the fleshly aspect of it, not in the spiritual part of it. Think about it. In your life, what do you invest more in? Your emotional / physical or in your spiritual? What do you do? Seriously. Throughout the week, are you pastor? You got to give us this word. We got to get this taken in and I got to understand it in order for me to apply it. And then I apply it and then I make sure I'm living it. I'm always seeking, is this godly? Or is there other things in your life that take up your time that you're more focused on? Do they, you know, are you more focused on what the world says to make you a better person? Things to think about. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding the promise for both the present life and the life to come. So it's going to benefit me eternally. Physical, just the temporary. So, understanding this basis now, that there is something that may seem like the best answer, which will make me compromise the right answer. How can I always make the right decision and not what seems as the best? First of all, I got to make decisions through God. Now, you may say that goes without saying, but once again, blows my mind. You'll hear people say the adage, I'll pray about it. Now, in some cases, I don't know what they mean because they'll still come out and you hear them make a decision that have nothing to do with God. I'm like, well, I don't know what you just did. You might have said a few words to God, but praying about it means, God, I want your way and your word. It's not just you saying some words so you can say you prayed about it. To make decisions through God, we see in John 7:24, he says, do not judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. Did y'all catch that? So my judgment on making a decision has to be based on God, because he's the only thing that is righteous. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So it has to be fully based on him. That's it. I can't come in and say, well, no, I did this measurement, did the science and all this, and it goes against what God says, but I'm going to still do it. No. See, the appearance will mislead you all the time. I need to really see, okay, God, what do I do in this? See, God looks at our purpose, which will dictate our sight. Did y'all get this? When he says in Proverbs 21:2, all a man's ways seem right to him. As we grow and we get older, we start building perceptions that seem. You know what I mean? We have what's called vain conceit. We have this focus that falls into place and it seems right. I think it's right if you eat this. I think it's right if you wear this. I don't like it when people wear this, so on and so forth. We get these things that we build up that seem right to me. That's what I'm saying. All a man's right ways seem right to him. It says, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, what does he mean by that? Once again, if you don't know what the heart is, if you think the heart is that feeling you have deep inside, you're still going to go by what seems right to you. It's not that. Okay. Your heart is your purpose. If my purpose is God, the way things seem will never have a say. Let me say that again. If my purpose or my heart is for God, the way things seem will never have a say. See, in fact, the way things seem will just be me checking me where I am in reference to where God says I should be. I don't care how right I think this thing is. I'll go back to the word and go, wait a minute. He said, do this. So that's what I'm doing. I have to do this every day. There are ways that when I look at it, I'll go, well, the way I would handle it is. I had to make a big decision as a pastor concerning a member. And I know people come to me and I think they approach me as if I made the decision on my own. And I tell them, y'all don't understand. If I would have made the decision on my own, I would have handled it this way. And to this day, I probably would have still handled it this way. But see, I got clear instruction based on God's word on how it was supposed to be handled. That's the way I handled it. And people struggle with it. Why did I do it? Because that's what his word said. I even defined it to people. Here's what I'm doing. Let me show you step by step what I'm doing. That's why I'm doing it. Why did I do that? I want to make sure I'm checking that it's based on what he says, not what I see. See, when we do things and our purpose is fully for him, this will dictate what we do in life and everything to be for God. See, if our purpose is right, we will have the correct sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is the thing that should bring all of this together when he says we live by faith, not by sight. The not by sight is as crucial as the live by faith. The not by sight. See, I think a lot of people have faith to help their sight. Think about that for a minute. Or they apply faith along with their sight. This is why we're so confused. How many of us have done stuff for God and you watch something happen and now you're just, my faith is gone, right? I've lost my faith. Why? Because you've been walking by sight, sprinkling on some faith. It's not how it works. It's an either or. You're either going to walk by faith or you're going to walk by sight. I'm being very clear with everyone out there. As a Christian, throughout my life, there's a ton of stuff right now I just don't see. A lot of decisions I make, a lot of things that I do are fully based on what he says. By my sight, I'm sitting there going, I don't see what he's doing. Don't get it. Y'all get it? You know, I used to love when I hear ministers give the stories. Oh, I see exactly what God, he lets me in on everything. No, he doesn't. And the reason why he doesn't is to make sure we're walking by faith. Y'all get this? To make sure we're walking by faith, not by sight. Next, we must decide based on God because we belong to God. You understand that? Romans 14:7 says, for none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So as I was saying, in the end result, when somebody would say, Keith, why did you make the decision you make? Because I look at my entire life as eventually I'm going to have to answer to eternity, which is God. And I'm just going to ask one question on many decisions that I make. Why did you do it? And there is only one right answer. Because your word said. Did y'all catch that? The minute I start going, but what I thought, and the way I felt, the way I seen it, wrong answer. I'll say that to Christians over and over again. Okay, how would you answer God on this? Well, I hope he would understand. So they start giving me some human reasoning on it. And I'm kind of, I'm like, do you understand? You understand this? I know it may not seem right. I know it may seem frustrating, but just do what he says. But the only way this is truly going to work is we need to remove self when helping others. You understand that? Okay, when making that decision, self has to go. Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So I have no right to come after you for my advice or whatever and helping or making that decision or seeing what's best based on me. I have to make sure I'm just redirecting you to God. God knows what he's doing. So redirect you to God and then step out of it. Leave me out of it. Right? All Christians must become truly wise and let go of worldly wisdom. When he says in 1 Corinthians 3:18-20, do not deceive yourselves. Remember, deception is a choice, if y'all like it or not. I know we like to play the victim. I know we like to play, oh, I didn't know, I was so confused. Well, God is clearly showing us, oh, no, 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 it doesn't work that way. If you choose, if you get deceived, it's because you chose deception. And that's why he starts off, some of that deception comes from ourselves. So when he says, do not deceive yourselves, if any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age. Remember, I told you, I've met some brilliant people, but their brilliance is based on the world. I'm saying, I don't want their brilliance. So I tell people to please be very careful when you go see worldly counselors, because they're going to give you worldly advice, which is based on worldly wisdom, which is very dangerous. And what does he say for us to do? He says he should become a fool so that he may become wise. In other words, you need to get rid of that thing you call wisdom in order to get true wisdom. And he makes clear in 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So those things that seem best, based on what I see, based on my human wisdom, I won't get how bad it is. Money decisions, my children decisions. At the moment, I won't get it. Later on, I'm like, oh man, why does it always got to be later on? Because we're not leaning on him spiritually. We're not trusting in him. Altogether, we have to make it a lifestyle to only live for God. This should be a practice that we do in everything. He says it in two places, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Did you notice how he breaks that down? Whatever you do, do it all. He starts off with some of those basic things we do, eating and drinking. He was like, eat and drink to glorify God. What does that mean? Aha, so there's some studying you got to do. Walking up the steps, do that to glorify God. What does that mean? How I do my hair, how I put on my clothes, TV shows I watch. How do I do it to glorify God? And this is important because you got some man-made answers on that. And be careful because there are some what we call cultural glories versus some real glories. What I've been around where I've heard people give advice, and they'll call things pure or glory, and it's based on some culture's way of doing things. It doesn't make it right. Be very careful to make sure it's from God. And then do it all to glorify God. We also see in 1 Corinthians 3:17, whatever you do, I'm sorry, Colossians 3:17, sorry about that. Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed. So whether you say it or whatever you do it, you know, if you're doing it indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to represent him means make sure it's from him. Make sure it represents him. It doesn't just mean you go, in Jesus' name I do this. No, it means what I did better represent what he said. Y'all get this? My whole life isn't for what seems the best. It's what he says. And a lot of times it's not going to be what seems the best. But it will be the best. Now, I have to give this warning for those who try to give the right answer to someone listening to this verse. Okay? So, in other words, you're going to try to give the right answer, and you may be right. But be careful how you do this. So, this is a side note. Hopefully, everybody got the rest of the study, and you fully understand there's a difference between best decision, which is by sight, and not the right decision, which is by faith. So when I go to somebody and I see them making this as a pastor, I can't just go, you know, that's wrong. I can't do that with everyone because it comes down to how I see it. And Matthew 7, 3, 5, 3 through 5 breaks this down for us. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? What this is letting me know is when I start telling people what is right and what is wrong, they're always looking at me. When I blatantly, you know, you're just wrong. You don't know what you're doing. They're looking at me on the stuff that I'm doing wrong, and I don't know what I'm doing. So right now, it just becomes who can best the other person. That's why he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. When I approach people, I let them know I'm flawed. And I try to say, this is what the word says. It's almost like I'm pointing you to this, not to me. That's all I'm doing. It's saying, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your own eye. And he says, first take the plank out of your own eye. Let them see, I'm just doing what this says, and I'm hoping I'm following it. When they see that you are not following you, but you're following the word, then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So in other words, the key is to help them to see. When they see that you see, it'll help them to clearly see. We have to first recognize the things that I cannot see, and there are some things I probably still cannot see. And then second, don't just give the answer, help others to see the answer. I give that because this study within itself is still one of the most challenging in the Christian community. You still got people making decisions that I'm sure multiple people, when they hear the answer that you did, will go, oh, yeah, I would have done the same thing, and didn't stop and go, wait, how does that fall in place with the word? Are we doing that? Hopefully we are. Let us start completely in everything we do, make every decision based on what he says, not what looks best. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, thank you for giving us that other lens in our life, which is faith. Help us to completely live by faith. Help us to do everything to glorify you. Help us to understand what each of those things mean. Our whole goal and everything that we want to make sure we're doing is completely and utterly always following you. So dear God, as we go out today, we ask you to make sure that what we are doing is blessing others with our lives, ministering to others, and not being attached to the things in the world that make us follow what the flesh says and not being led by your spirit. We ask for continual blessings on those who are struggling, those who are having a hard time. Help us to redirect them in the right way, dear Lord. Help them always point towards you. And help us to recognize we are just like them, and we will always need you. And let us never become puffed up in ourselves, but to always follow you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, Amen.